In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be,
world without end. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is Louisa, the bread, the food of the divine will. Page 12, middle of the page, volume 28, 8 to 1930. We begin. See, also in the natural order, all things are veiled. So here, Jesus is showing us life. Life is veiled, even in the natural order. We don't understand many things. So he says, the fruits have a veil of the skin. Who enjoys the good of eating them? One who does the work of drawing near the tree, of picking it, of removing the skin that hides the fruit. Okay, so here he's trying to show us about its discovery. And again, how our God is so amazing that you see something and it's just the beginning of understanding it. So this one enjoys, the one who draws near the tree, picks of the fruit, removes the skin. This one enjoys and makes the desired fruit his food. The fields are veiled by straws. Who takes the good of those straws that those straws hide? The one who uncovers them, and of those straws that has the good of taking the grain in order to form the bread, to make of it his daily food. So here, give us this day our daily bread. It's the third bread, the wonder bread that we eat. The second bread is the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. And again, it's the same thing. It's those that seek it, those that look for it, those that want it, those that want to receive this food. And, you know, at this point, we can receive Holy Communion daily if we wish. It's the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. And the whole reason for the Church having the Eucharist is to prepare us for the first bread. That bread of a perennial communion with God, never to end. And that's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us to seek this, to long for this, to look for it. Okay, just like you would, you know, people who, you know, have fruit trees. They plant the fruit trees. Why? So that they will have fruit. They make sure that they will have what they're longing for. That's what they do. That's what the saints do with the Holy Eucharist. They'll spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament with our Eucharistic Lord. And now it's the first bread. So he says, in sum, all things down here on earth have the veil that covers them to give man the work and the will, the love to possess them, and then to enjoy them. So again, what you work for, you will enjoy. Now, my truths surpass natural things by far. The truths of the divine will that Jesus manifested to Louisa. And they present themselves to the creature like noble queens, veiled, in the act of giving themselves to them. So here, the truths that Jesus speaks in the Book of Heaven, these promises that Jesus speaks in the Book of Heaven, these manifestations that Jesus speaks in the Book of Heaven, he says, they present themselves to the soul like noble queens, veiled, in the act of giving themselves to them. So here, this is not anything that you can see naturally. It's veiled. And a lot of people read the divine will and say, well, there's nothing there. This is what God said to the saints. I've read this before. And the problem with that is that that's not true. It might be similar. It might point to what this is. But the only one who possessed this gift was Louisa. Now, there are many out there that say that souls like Dina Bellinger and, you know, St. Faustina and Maximian Kolbe, they were living in the divine will. And because of how Jesus spoke to them. And You have to understand, when God gave this gift to Louisa, He was manifesting the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, to Louisa Picaretta. He was overflowing with love and grace, and that was oozed, if you want to say, on everybody at that time. So who was there? You have St. Faustina, you have Dina Bellinger, you have some of the great mystics of the church, Maximian Kolbe, John Paul II. This oozing of love that it pours over all mankind. So, you know, even down at Dina Bellinger, you know, Jesus says, "I am your divine substitute." That is not the divine will. It might seem like it. For those that haven't read Louisa, it might seem like, well, this is great. This is something that, this is the divine will. Look at Louisa. She possesses this too. And it's no, it's Louisa's the only one that possesses this gift. So we have to understand, when you read all 36 volumes, it's very clear Louisa is the only one. The first one, she says, being the only one who lives in it, the first one who will possess this gift, the next one will fulfill the fullness of this gift, will be the Holy Father. And again, Adam and Eve, Jesus and Mary, Louisa and who? There has to be a man and a woman for this new era. You have Adam and Eve for creation, and Adam fell. You have Jesus and Mary for redemption, the new Adam and the new Eve. And now for sanctification, you have Louisa who possesses this gift. Who is the man? It's the man with the keys. He's the one that possesses this gift. Jesus says, through Louisa, Holy Father, you must be the first to have the fullness of this gift. Why? Because you represent the divine will. Why? Because you represent the Catholic Church, the universal life. And that's what the divine will is. The divine will is the fulfillment, the crowning of the Catholic Church. It's the universal life that Adam lost, the glory that Adam lost. So that's why the Church in every Holy Mass says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. It's a new era that's coming that John Paul II talked about. On May 16th, 2004, at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. What did he say? He says, we're now going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. So this outpouring is hidden. Here, these truths are hidden. And God wants to give these truths to us, not just to know, but to possess, to transmute us inside and out. So he says, but they want their work. They want them to draw near them by the steps of their will in order to know them, possess them, and love them. So here, the work that we have to do is draw near to these truths. We use our free will to choose to live this. This is why the next two talks in New Jersey and Ohio, the way to live in the divine will, it's thorough, it's complete, it's nothing that the saints have been given. It's to begin to live the true life of Jesus. How this is done, that's what Jesus wants us to know. So there are certain steps that he's going to teach us. There's certain ways that he wants us to understand this. And it's nothing like the saints. St. Honorable de Francia was wonderful. He was the first to die living in the divine will. Die living in the divine will. Okay, so as he was dying, he began to enter into this gift. Why? Because he studied 1 through 19 thoroughly. He knew it. He knew it inside and out. And but he didn't read 20 through 36, so he does not know how to receive the fullness of 20 through 36 because he never read it. And what is the fullness? Is to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, to go back to where Adam was before the fall. That's what God's planned. So to understand this gift, you have to read, you have to study, you have to put this into practice. It's not anything that you find in any of the saints. And it's unfortunate because most people won't read the divine will because they're satisfied with what they have. You know, they're satisfied with what the saints have said. It's not Jesus that's saying it. It's a saint, a good person, a holy person, a saintly person who did this in their human will. Jesus, what he breathed into Louisa was for Louisa to do this in God's most holy divine will, not in a human saintly will, but in God's most holy divine will. So what Jesus taught Louisa is how to empty herself of everything that is human. Nothing human can be there. And that's why, like last week, when you read last week, it was very clear to be the yeast is not to be the flour. The flour is everybody else. It's to be the yeast in the midst of creatures, in the midst of flour, so that all the flour can possess the leaven, that light, that life, that love of God, living in God's most holy divine will. So we are called to be different. We're not called to be saints. I mean, if you want to be a saint, good. God bless you. You will be a saint. But Jesus says, "I now is the time to enter into this life. Now is the time for sanctification, not just doing the will of God by what the saints have taught us, but living in the will of God the way Jesus and Mary have taught Louisa." So again, he says the necessary conditions in order to tear the veil that hides them. What is it? To know these truths, to possess these truths, and to love these truths. So that's why every day when you read, especially the calendar, why do I stress the calendar? Because you read everything basically in 1 year. And somebody was just telling me they're reading the volumes, and it's like 4 pages a day. I really want to get to know this, so I read 4 pages a day, and it takes 3 years to do that. In the divine will, sometimes it's 20 pages. I mean, reading the calendar, but that's not every day. It's unusual. Usually it's about 4 to 6 pages a day, you know, but sometimes it's 20. So what God is asking of us is to enter into this gift. When you read the volumes, the pages are a quarter in compared to the, you know, 8x11 sheet. So it's more than what most people can do, most people want to do. Because it's you go through the dry periods of Louisa, you go through the tense periods of Louisa, and what happens at that point, you know, you don't, you're with Louisa, you know, you're with Louisa. And that's why I love the calendar, because he's teaching every day something new, something more beautiful. And even if you've read it 10 times, it's more beautiful. Because he's expanded your capacity to understand this more. So he says, the necessary conditions to tear the veil of the truths, the manifestations, the promises that Jesus gives to Louisa is to know them, possess them, and love them. And you can do that every time you read. I want to know this. That's what you're saying to Jesus. I want to possess them. That's what you're saying to Jesus. I want you, just Jesus, to know that I love these truths. Why? Because you're speaking them. I want to possess what you are speaking to me. I want to possess this word that you, as the word of God, are proclaiming to me. So he says, once the veil is torn, with their light, this is the truths, the manifestations, of their own, they make their way, giving themselves in possession to those souls who have searched for them, for those souls who have longed for them, for those souls that have read them, studied them, put them into practice. So he says, once the veil is torn, once you are peeling that grape, getting into the fruit, with their own light. This is Jesus speaking. With their own light, they make their way. It's these truths are living. He says, every word that I speak is the divine life. It's proclaiming. It's making its way to the heart, to the mind, to the soul. Giving themselves in possession, total surrender to us, to those who have searched for them, who have read them, who have studied them, who have put them into practice. So what we see is it's a new beginning that God is asking of us every time we read. It's really a new beginning, and he's pleading with us to allow him to speak, to allow him his word, the word of God speaking his word, that divine life into us to transmute us. There's nothing like this on the face of the earth. There's nothing like this. And that's why Jesus says, that's why he said, I've waited 6,000 years to get these books out to the world. And in 1996, they came out. But for us, by 2005, we had them in English. Finally, we have the opportunity to read them every day. Again, he's waited, 6,000 years to have this done. So God is very happy that we have the books, but he's happier when we're reading, studying, and putting them into practice, when we're peeling these grapes, peeling these words to get these truths, the divine truths that Jesus wants to teach us. This is not human. It's not a human understanding that the saints give us. It's a divine understanding. It's to see things from a divine perspective, from the perspective of God when Jesus speaks. So this is why we're excited to read every day, study every day, put into practice every day, because Jesus is speaking to us. He's teaching us. And everything that he says, he expands them to for all eternity. That word will grow in us for all eternity. We will never comprehend that divine word fully. We'll never comprehend it. We'll get glimpses of it as we enter into eternity, because that word is living. So this is why it's so great to read, study, and to put into practice the truths of the Book of Heaven, is because this is nothing like anything that has ever been seen before by any of the saints. It's the newborn Luisa Picaretta that has been given this gift. No one can compare to Luisa. Why? Jesus said that. He says all the martyrdoms of all the saints, all the penances of all the saints, all the sufferings of all the saints combined cannot compare to one eye blink of Luisa. Why? Because everything that the saints did was done in a human saintly way. When Luisa blinks, it's Jesus blinking in her blinking. God is blinking in her blinking. No one can compare. All humanity combined can't compare to that one eye blink. So that's why we love Luisa. We love Luisa because this is not ordinary. This is not normal. This is abnormal. This is something that's completely different than what's ever been seen before. And it takes humility to say, I want this more than anything else. It takes great humility to do that, because you'll be rejected, misunderstood, abandoned, spit upon, laughed at. Why? Because nobody believes it. And that's why to live in the divine will, we have to become the yeast. That's what Jesus says. He said to the apostles, to beware the yeast of the Pharisees. Why? That yeast was death. It was a lie. There was no life in it. But then he says to Luisa, the most important thing to me is the yeast. What does that mean? Why can there be such a difference? Because the yeast in the divine will is to die to everything that is not of God. To live solely and completely one with God, fused with God. And then that yeast is in the midst of creatures, in the midst of your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your prisoners, the nations, the world, the universe, that yeast is changing everything. And again, it's nothing to do with us. It's nothing to do with us. We're nothing. That's why St. Louis de Montfort says that in the final days they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done but what God has done for them. So God has called us at this time to give us an office, a mission, an important part for the kingdom. And that's why he says to Louisa, the first few who will live in the divine will, who basically are the yeast, will be different. They'll always be known in heaven. They'll be different than the rest. And that doesn't mean we're better. We are not called to be the flower. Now, a lot of people who have left the divine will, who've come in and read a little bit and left the divine will, God basically says, I've given you this opportunity to become yeast. And you said, no, so you can be bread. You can still live in the divine will, but you won't be what I've called you to be. You won't live that office that I wanted you to have, that life that I wanted you to have. And yeah, I always wondered why Jesus said that to Louisa, that the first children of the Holy Divine will be much different. Why? Because this gift is going to be given to the whole world, but it has to be given to those that have the yeast, the fermentation that will leaven everyone, that will bring life to the church, the skin to the body, Jesus says. So again, the body of Christ Jesus is the head. We are called to be the skin, and that will form everyone in the body of Christ, that bread, to bring leaven to it. So there's great things that God has planned, and all he asks us to do is to give our fiat. Volume 29, 5:10, 1931. After this, I was thinking about the divine will, how it seemed difficult to me that its kingdom might come. And my beloved Jesus added, my daughter, just as the yeast has the virtue of fermenting the bread, so is my will, the fermentation of the acts of the creature. So here, the divine will, this is why we're the first of the first little children of the Holy Divine Will linked to Louisa. He says, we have to become that yeast. That yeast is the virtue of fermentating the bread. And he says, my divine will is the fermentator of the acts of the souls who are learning how to live in the divine will. There's not many at this point. There's many that say they read it, they study it, they possess it. But you have to be nothing. You have to be misunderstood, abandoned, spit upon, laughed at, ridiculed, mocked. Because you're not like the rest. You're not called to be like the rest. And so, therefore, our job is not to compromise with the bread, because then you become bread. It's like, you know, you have to understand, this is the role, this is the mission that Jesus has given to us. And again, if people want to be the bread, so be it. Let them be the bread. God bless you. You'll be a great saint. You'll live in the divine will someday. But what Jesus is asking of us is to work with Louisa so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. So he says that. As the soul calls my divine will into acts, and this is what we do all day long, come divine will, breathe in my breathing, come divine will, beat in my heart beating, come divine will, walk in my walking. Why? So that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is heaven. And I call this, I pray this, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that all mankind partakes in this. As if everybody was praying it. That's the yeast affecting all the bread, all the flour. They remain fermented by it, okay, and form the bread of the kingdom of my divine will. So here, instead of unleavened bread, God is calling that bread to be leavened, to be filled with air, if you want to say, filled with the rule of God, the breath of God. Everyone in our family, everyone in our friends and neighbors and coworkers who despise the divine will, who hate the divine will, who reject the divine will, who laugh at the divine will, who mock the divine will, they will all partake in this. Why? Because of the souls who are studying this, loving it, studying it, and possessing it, knowing this, will be able to give this to them. The divine will in the midst of creatures. So there's nothing to worry about. It's the only thing you have to worry about is, are you following what Jesus is asking you to do? Are you compromising? Or are you really beginning to live this, study this, possess this? And that's the question that we have to have. Are you really open to what God is asking, or are you minimizing this office, this mission that God has given to us? So he says, now in order to make much bread, the yeast is not enough, but it takes much flour. That's the rest of mankind. That's those that don't want it, those that laugh at it. It takes someone who must do these acts of uniting flour and yeast. It takes water to bond of union, to be able to knead the flour and yeast so that the yeast may communicate the fermenting virtue and the flour may receive it. So here is, this is living in the midst of creatures. How? Peaceful, joyful, and happy. Not demanding, not forcing, not commanding that this is what you're going to do, but peaceful, joyful, and happy. You're doing what God wants you to do. So therefore, you should be happy. And in the midst of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, and negativity of the dough, of the bread, of the flour, the yeast is doing its job. Peaceful, joyful, and happy. That's the brew of God, the breath of God, the air, if you want to say, the bubbles in the bread that makes it rise. It's God is calling us because that's God that's doing it. It's not us. That Ruah of God, that breath of God, is God's breath, God's Ruah. It's not ours. I mean, he uses us so that he can accomplish what he has planned. But we have to be little, insignificant, hidden. And again, not to worry about anything. Let them worry. Let them be fearful. Let them be anxious. Let them complain. Let them be negative. But you who are reading, us, we who are reading it, we have to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. It doesn't matter what they're going through. It doesn't matter. What I've found is most people love misery, and they want misery. They want to share their misery with others, and they want others to be miserable like them. And we have to be free of that. We're not the bread. We're not the bread. We're not the flour. We're the yeast. We're the slime. We're the slime at the bottom of the barrel. So God is asking us to be who we've been called to be, and that's not the same as others. And again, I'm not saying this, we are better. We have a different role. God is calling us to do something that he wants us to do. He wants us to be slime balls, that fermentation, so that he can accomplish what he has planned. So that's what the flower thinks of the yeast. You know, we don't like you. You're not part of us. You're a wacko. You're ridiculous. You're this. You're that. And that's okay. To be what God has called us to be, that's the most important thing. So it takes the fire to cook this bread. And again, the fire is the worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin of the others. To cook this bread, to form it as nourishing and digestible bread. So what God is asking us to do is to be that yeast in the midst of the dough. And the fire, the cooking, all that is around us, it's part of God's plan. So when we're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, were contrary to God's plan. We're not the yeast. We're the bread. We're the dough. We're our family. We're our friends. We are our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners who don't want the divine will. They would rather complain until you know the kingdom comes than accept the office, the mission that Jesus is giving us. And that's the to be that yeast. So again, it's very, very clear. We are not to be like the others. What God is calling us to do, and this is why it's so important that we read, what is the way to live this life? How do you live this life? And that is, Jesus puts it in step by step, how to do this, how to become what God has called us to be. Now, does it not take more time, more acts to form it rather than to eat it? Okay, this is, the last, if you want to say, the last few years. The sacrifice is in forming it. As for eating it, it is done quickly. And once it feels the taste of the sacrifice. So again, we are stuck in time at this point, stuck in time. This what's coming is to enter into a new and abundant life, you know. So it's necessary that we begin to understand that for the last, let's say since 1996, we've had the writings. 2005, we finally got the writings. Here it is, 15 years later, we're reading everything. And it's not here yet. It's because we haven't done all the cooking. We haven't done, it's not ready yet. But once it's here, time will disappear. There'll be no time. Yeah, and that's why Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the Lucifer, his reign. So what's coming is a new beginning, and we have to read and study and put this into practice. We've got to focus on this gift so that God can give it to us. He says, when I find the souls that want this more than anything, I will give it to them. And he hasn't given it to the world yet because he hasn't found anybody yet. We haven't done enough study on this. We haven't done enough focusing on this gift. So, my daughter, this is important. The yeast of my divine fiat that has only the virtue of fermenting your acts, emptying them of the human will in order to convert them into the bread of the divine will, is not enough. But it takes a continuation of acts, a continuation of sacrifices for a long time, in such a way that my divine will with its fermenting virtue shall ferment all these acts so as to form much bread and to keep it prepared in store for the children of its kingdom. So here is the study, the reading, the studying, putting this into practice. He says it's going to take a while. And because this is new for everybody. As you read this, as you study this, it's to be formed by Christ himself. It's to be formed by the Blessed Mother herself. It's not, you know, this isn't what the saints have said. The saints taught us how to do the will of God. To live in the will of God, we have to begin to live a life that has never been seen before. The true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, found in Louisa. So linking ourselves to Louisa is essential. We have to know that this gift that God wants to give us is His gift. It's a new gift that our God wants us to begin to possess. So he says, the yeast of my fiat has only the virtue of fermenting your acts, emptying them of the human will in order to convert them into the bread of the divine will. It is not enough, but it takes a continuation of acts, a continuation of sacrifices for a long time. In such a way that my divine will with its fermenting virtue shall ferment all your acts as to form much bread and to keep it prepared and stored for the children of its kingdom. So here God is showing us that He's going to do this. And He's got plans. And we have to learn how to do this the way God is teaching, not the way the saints have taught. The saints didn't know how to do this. The saints knew how to do the will of God. Jesus is now teaching us how to live in the will of God. When everything shall be formed, what is left is to deposit the events. And this is easier and is done quickly because it is in our power, our divine power, to move the secondary causes in order to do what we, God, want. So he says, we got it. Everything has to be formed. Oh, Lord, everything has to be formed. That means our life has to be focused on this gift 100%. That's what has to be. It can't be good and holy and saintly things. It can't be a devotional life. Like what we just found out was the translations of the mystical city of God was done in Rome City, Indiana. And so now they want to publish, get all the books, because it was the translation was done in Rome City. They want to get this out in English to the world. And I'm just looking at this going, the mystical city of God is good, but it's not divine will. And already now you can see they would rather have a good, holy, saintly thing than the divine will. And so it's going to be kind of fun to watch how God does that, because it's the book, this mystical city of God is wonderful, but it's not divine will. And that is good, but it's, you know, God is saying, until this is formed, he says, nothing can happen. He says, everything shall be formed, and then is the to dispose the events, it is easier done quickly, because in God's divine power, it's moved the secondary causes in order to do what we, God, want. So again, this is a wonderful thing that's happening. God is saying to us, there's going to be nice things, holy things, saintly things, to do, and God will give you the opportunity to do it. A lot of people say, I'd rather read, Divine Mercy. Fine, God bless you. See, it's to be the yeast is to focus on this, to bring about what God has planned. He says, Did I not do likewise for redemption? My long 30 years of my hidden life were like the yeast in which all my acts were fermented to form and to ferment the great good of redemption. The short life of my public life and my passion was my fermented bread that my divine will formed and fermented in my acts that, like bread, I broke for all and gave to eat so that all might receive the bread of the redeemed ones to acquire the necessary strength to put themselves in safety. Therefore, give yourself no concern. Think of doing your duty. This is our office. This is our mission. And letting not one of your acts escape in which you do not put the yeast of my divine will. So here is, it's to become that yeast. It's to no longer be doing anything but focusing on this gift, doing everything in your in the action your rounds in the divine will. He says, so that your being may remain fermented by it, and I, Jesus, shall think of all the rest. So what he's asking of us, what he's pleading with us to do, is to focus on this. This is the thing that is so essential to begin to live this life. Give yourself no concern. Don't worry about good things, holy things, saintly things. Especially good things, holy things, and saintly things. Because that's all you've known to this point. And Jesus now says, I want you to learn how to live in the divine will, not just to do the will of God. He says, think of your doing your duty. Think of the mission that God has given you. Think of the this office of becoming yeast. Why? It's Him. He has to do this. It's everything that you think, everything that you say, everything that you do must be done in the divine will to become that yeast so that the bread can receive it. So the dough, the flour can receive it. Let not one of your acts escape. Every thought, every word, every deed. It's got to be constant in your mind. I'm doing this in the name of everyone and everything. Why? So that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. It's very, very simple. That we pray this prayer that this becomes God's command. You command it, Lord. This is walking on water. This is to do everything in the divine will has never been done before. Louisa did it. The saints didn't do this. It's so different that it's like walking on the water, I should say. It's unbelievable what God is doing. God is doing it in our thoughts. He's repairing, redoing in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. He says, in which you do not put the yeast of my divine will. So he says, give yourself no concern. Think of doing your duty, of letting not one of your acts escape, which you do not put the yeast of my divine will in. Come, divine will. Come, breathe in my breathing. When you wake up in the morning, the very first thing you should do, maybe something, this is something different. Have a picture of Jesus, have a, baby Jesus or whatever, but go to him and look at him and, kiss him, hug him, crucified Christ, whatever, and say, I want to do everything one with you today. Focus on it. The very first thing in the morning, make it a habit of going to Jesus, going to Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, one with Louisa, and saying, I want to do this, everything today, in, with, through, and for you, as you do everything in, with, through, and for me. Put the yeast of my divine will in every thought, word, and deed, Jesus says, so that your being may remain fermented by the divine will. No longer anything less than that. Your being is fermented. You're different. God wants you and I to become yeast. Why? So that the bread of the divine will, everyone else will be able to possess it. So it's the divine will in the midst of creatures. It's the divine will in the midst of all mankind. So no matter where you are, whether you're shopping or whether you're in church, whether you're wherever you are, the divine will is there in the midst of creatures. It's affecting everyone. It's changing everyone. It's transmuting everyone. Why? Jesus is there. That's why he says it. He says, and I, Jesus, shall think of all the rest. I'm going to do everything. I'm going to take care of everything. You don't have to worry about a thing. I will take care of it, that Jesus says. So he's asking us to enter into this gift, to really become one with him, to become that yeast, that slime that everybody despises. Yeah, it brings fermentation to the bread. It brings fermentation to the wine. It brings about a change, a dramatic change to the bread, a dramatic change to the wine. So God is asking us, pleading with us to accomplish this. Read, study, put this into practice. Every day, this has to become your life. So begin your day venerating Jesus. It could be a crucifix. and your day venerating Jesus, saying, you know, you are my everything, and I want you to participate in everything that I think, say, and do. I want you to transform me and all that I think, say, and do into the yeast that you so rightly deserve. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.